In the past week, Egypt's highest civilian court upheld death sentences for 12 Muslim Brotherhood members, concluding a trial linked to certain incidents in 2013. The ruling, which cannot be appealed against, means that the 12 men could face execution pending approval by the dictator Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Included amongst these 12 individuals are Abdurrahman al-Baa, who's a religious scholar, Muhammad al-Baltaghi, a former member of parliament, and Osama Yassin, a former minister. To comment on this latest development, as well as the ongoing climate of suppression in Egypt, as well as developments in the diplomatic space, taking us up to the top of the hour, is Professor Nidal Sakkar, joining us from the United States of America this evening. Professor, shukran for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to be with you, brother.
Thank you so much for joining us. Your reaction again, it's always difficult for me to ask a question like this, because it in essence it's a same question that we've asked repeatedly with every development of the like since 2013, but nonetheless, in terms of the latest upholding of the death penalty, as well as the second year being marked since the demise of Mohamed Morsi in detention, your thoughts at this time, Professor?
Okay. There are very important lessons for us to learn when we go through any situation in life. Number one is, as Muslims, we are never reactionaries. Being a Muslim, somebody that sees in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody that has certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom, power, mercy, and being the master of all events. We see, we have very clear criteria and benchmark to what's right, what's wrong, what's fair, what's not, what's justice, and what's injustice. So we don't get treated like wishy-washy when the events of life start taking fall on us. So that's number one. Number two is, we see things in long-term strategic term. We've seen the incident of Siraqa during the Hijra. We've seen the incident of Barak during Khandaq or Al-Ahzab. We've seen all that. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us always to be strategic, always to be forward thinkers, as well as long-term, long-sighted, or see things in their strategic terms. We had a crime that took place against people of Egypt, against the Muslim Ummah, and against humanity at large. And that crime was the military coup and all the massacres and the crimes against humanity that took place ever since. What we see today is nothing outside that sequence, that context. The regime, the coup regime in Egypt, is bloodthirsty, is criminal, is terrorist in nature, committed a number of crimes besides shedding the blood of Egyptians. One of the most notable crimes that it committed basically was giving away Egyptians' rights to the water of the Nile River. And we spoke in other occasions before of how that issue evolved when the Sisi was not recognized by any country around the world, and he wanted to get legitimacy and recognition by the African Union, which was headed at the time by the country of Ethiopia. So he went and he gave away the Egyptian water rights in seeking some recognition by Ethiopia and the African Union for his illegitimate, illegal coup regime. Now, that issue has, of course, caused a detrimental threat against the life of Egyptians, as we see right now. And for him to cover up for those crimes, plus, you know, many other problems that he got himself stuck with, now he's creating all kinds of events to distract the public opinion, to distract the world opinion, to distract the Egyptian reaction away from his failures, away from his corruption, away from his management, by creating all of these events, whether it's the execution of the brothers that took place a few months ago in our last conversation, whether it's these death sentences against the elite of the Egyptian society and the symbols of the January 25 revolution. We've seen even an incident a couple of days ago when they charged some of like the Da'iya or some of the sheikhs in Egypt for starting their speeches by Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. So that's all, like, it's all the same theatrics that the coup regime is creating to distract from his failure, from the corruption, from the crime that's been committed. The second anniversary of, we cannot say demise of President Morsi. President Morsi is always going to be alive in our conscience. We've seen how in Palestine at Al-Aqsa, the Palestinians were becoming victorious over the Israeli occupation, they carried once again the pictures and the signs and the posters of President Mohammed Morsi in recognition of his message that will always be alive among all of us and will always inspire us to continue the struggle for the causes that he stood for. We as Muslims, our ideas, our purpose of life, the things that serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not depend on a person. These are all values that we live for. Some people carry the torch and they will be like at the front lines and symbolize the struggle for us. But the struggle continues with or without any of us. We always express gratitude by memorizing or commemorating the people who led the struggle at one point or another. This whole thing against the death sentence against the brothers or the 12 members of the Muslim Brotherhood, we can look at it two ways. First of all, it's a sign for the sincerity and for the elite status for Allah choosing those people to be martyrs. So inshallah, they are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are martyrs, whether they are executed or saved from this political decision. But inshallah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will receive the reward of the martyrs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to basically destroy this coup regime and save the brothers for us, inshallah. But we should not look at all of this incident, whether sacrificing some of the best Egyptians of our time, people that have history of serving the people of Egypt, of standing for truth and justice, and they represent even symbols for the entire Muslim Ummah and for humanity, for standing for human rights, for freedom, for justice, for social justice, for equality, for reform. These are things that, that all of us stand for, like the whole free community, free people of the world, they all stand for that. Those people were at the forefront for the human fight, for all of these values that we all share. Whether they end up paying their price for it, by such theatrical decision courts or in some other way, they live for the cause that they wish to die to live for, and inshallah, no matter what, they will always meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the same path. We should not feel frustrated. We should not feel defeated. We should not feel beaten or weak. We should actually be happy for the brothers to be like chosen among Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be steadfast on the path of justice. And we should also like learn to be like them and to be inspired by them. But we should not look at all of these like coup decisions and measures and theatrics and scandals and so forth as by any means historical events. What else do you expect from Abdel Fattah Sisi and his criminal regime?
Yes. Professor, just about two or three minutes I have left for this question. Your thoughts then on a country like Turkey that had previously not been on the warmest of terms with the Egyptian regime in recent days, saying that it wants to maximize cooperation with Egypt and Gulf nations on a so-called win-win basis?
What we have right now, whether it's Turkey, whether it's Qatar, and their moves towards reconciliation with the bloody regime in Egypt, we must remember that, first of all, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and his regime are going to be gone one day or one way or another. The crimes that he is committing right now in terms of giving away Egyptian rights to the East Mediterranean, these are historical crimes that not only affect Egypt, but the people of the entire region. And you can look at what Turkey and Qatar are doing as damage control. There's no way on earth that these people are in love with such ruthless, bloody regime. But sometimes realities and the politics and diplomacy requires that you have to act in a certain way. You're dealing with the devil. You know, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is nothing but the devil. So those people are dealing with the devil. They're trying to protect the rights of the Egyptians as well as the people in the Eastern Mediterranean. And, I'm sure that, once the opportunity comes, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that this regime to be to vanish from the face of the earth. There will always, like, inshallah, they'll be there for the people, right and justice, inshallah.
I just have probably time for one more. Just going back to the first question, Professor, and that was, these individuals who are slated or potentially could be executed in the past year, for instance, or in the past few months, have we seen many executions that have already taken place, and perhaps people in similar categories, executions are not only being proposed but have actually occurred in recent times?
You can't assume anything good coming out of that regime, so you would assume that the regime does indeed have full intent and desire to exclude them and to get rid of any people who stood one day or another against the regime, that which is the same regime, Hosni Mubarak, the military occupation of Egypt. So I have no doubt in my mind that it is the ultimate wish of the regime to get rid of those people as well as many others. We should not even expect this to be the last episode of execution orders against Egyptian elite and the leaders of the Egyptian people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides the fate of those people. If Allah decides that their time on earth is over with, then they will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah decides that it's not their time yet, it doesn't matter whether it's ceasing his course or not, nobody would bring their death to them. So we should keep looking at this from that perspective. Not to be shaken, not to be intimidated, not to be scared, not to be, devastated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides the fate of all matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who decides when our time is up on this earth, and we should always be mindful of this. We just pray for the brothers, and we learn from, their trials and from the lessons and the inspirations they have given us, and we'll always, inshallah, ask Allah to keep it in their hasanat. And we just, life goes on. We stand, we still have the war on Gaza. We still have many other issues and trials. And the sister that got killed in UK by the Emirati regime a couple of days ago, we still have so many causes to attend to. So we don't get shaken, we don't get weakened, and we just continue carrying the torch and just charging full speed ahead, inshallah.
Inshallah, shukran so much for your time, Professor, and I appreciate as well the prism that you've created to be able to look at these events, not just in the immediacy, but with a deep prism and spectacled by faith. Shukran so much for your time, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.